All right, if you'd open up your Bibles with me, we're going to get into Revelation chapter 6. We were touching upon that last week. Such a wonderful chapter many times, and I know people seem to pass over this chapter, but I think it's such a catalyst of so many thoughts and so many wonderful truths that truly as we get into this, it can come together for many. Again, this word is from spiritual revelation. It's never going to come from the head. It's going to be the Holy Spirit revealing things to us. But praise God when we can come together and again search the Scriptures and again rightfully divide the Word of God. And before we delve into 6, I do want us to again to remember that this chapter is an index of the entire tribulation. The first four seals go through a slight index or a condensed index of the tribulation 7-year period of time. And I want us to notice again that in each one of these four seals that are going out, the one that is giving the seal is obviously Christ. It's the Lamb. But the one who is actually pouring out and performing the judgment alongside of the Lamb are the four living creatures. It's wonderful, the four living ones. I so appreciate that the Lord, again, so emphasizes that there is a joint heirship with God. There is a jointly reigning group that, and a company that will be with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is the group of the four living ones. And we'll notice that these that are ruling and reigning with Him, again, just kind of backtracking somewhat here, in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation here, that was when John was taken up into heaven and was given that heavenly vision. Chapter 4 truly begins the tribulation. And at that time, at the beginning of the tribulation, you'll notice that there is a trumpet that sounds. And in that verse there, it says, chapter 4, verse 1, if you'd want to just follow with me in this thinking, it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." And that's what's going to happen. When Christ calls His bride, that door is going to open. And He has the key, and He can open it, and He can shut. And no man can shut it, and no man can open it. Christ Jesus has that door. He's had that door since the very beginning. And by the grace of God, He opened it up for Brother Enoch. He opened it up for Brother Elijah. He opened it up there in Matthew chapter 27 when it said that many of those Old Testament saints, there were many that their bodies were taken up into heaven. Isn't that precious? That's where we get the 24 elders, brothers and sisters, know that. Those are the overcomers in the Old Testament. The very first group that was seen back there in chapter 4, they're sitting there. They're waiting in heaven. They're there right now, okay, with Christ Jesus. There's going to come a time, though, that this trump is going to sound. There's going to be a dead in Christ that rise first. We read that back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The dead in Christ, again, are the wonderful saints that we read there in chapter 3, the wonderful church of Smyrna. Those are the saints, again, that have gone before us, that have went by, Brother Hill used to say, the way of the subway. Isn't that precious? He always wanted to be on the way of the highway, as he said, but he's gone the way of the grave by the grace of God. We trust that he'll be in, obviously, the bride of Christ, Brother Copley, the Sister Bodies, just so many of them that have gone before. But they're going to be that group, by the grace of God, that is the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. That's the Church of Philadelphia. These are the first rank believers, brothers and sisters, are the Church of Smyrna and the Church of Philadelphia. They are seen in heaven as one total group called the Four Living Ones. They're seen in heaven. The beginning of this time, the beginning of this wonderful tribulation time that really in a moment is going to be here. You can see that this thing is out of control even right now over there. This could happen tonight. It could be all over. Praise God. They're calling right now. This is what's so exciting about it. And even if it doesn't come to pass, who cares? I'm still looking for it. Praise God. But these are just things that are happening around us. They're right now saying, well, we don't want a temporal peace. We don't want to call these Jews off right now. We want something that would be more enduring. See, they even know in their hearts this is just a false peace. They know that it's an inevitable. When you get godly men really talking on TV and some of these news shows, and I watch Fox once in a while and all, they say it's just inevitable. It's going to all hit the fan. And it is going to hit it. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's going to come. But you can see how this thing is out of control right now. There's going to be one that comes upon the scene that's going to bring this false hope, going to bring this false peace. We were reading about that in the first two verses of chapter 6 last week, where it was the one on the white horse that brings in that false peace. He's got the bow, but he doesn't show the arrows, does he? He's showing he's just this peaceful thing. And he's got a crown that shows that they're going to give him authority. That's your Antichrist. And he's coming. And things are set. That stage is right now. And it's amazing to me that all the leaders, you know where they're meeting right now to find this peace? In Rome. Yeah, isn't that kind of interesting? Well, enough said there. We'll be to them in a minute. Well, I shouldn't say in a minute, but Lord willing, we'll be there soon enough. But if Jesus tarry. But again, so precious that we do see this. But again, this trumpet is such a key, and that is the trump of God that's going to sound there as well in 1 Thessalonians. Bring these things together in your heart. Not in your mind, but in your heart. This is the trump. This is the sound that we're looking for. This is the trump that opened chapter 4 here. As he said again, I looked and there was a door open, and the voice that I heard was as a trumpet talking with me. That's the trump of God. Hallelujah. That's going to start this whole thing off, is that trump of the archangel. This is the trump of God. Heaven's going to open. There's going to be those companies that are going to meet him in the air. What a wonderful thing. And if you think about, too, again, if some people still waffle a little bit back and forth about that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, about, well, that's just everybody raptured together. Well, why then in chapter 5 does it talk about those that are asleep and wake up so you don't miss the thief that comes in the night? Come on now, just read the Word of God. Know what proceeds after that. What does chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians begin to talk about? Don't sleep as them. Be sober. Don't be drunken in the night. Not talking about unbelievers. They're just dead. Come on. You see it? There's a difference. That's the group that's going to be ready. Now, fast forward it again. Isn't this wonderful how the Word of God even does this here? A lot of people read Revelation. They say, oh, well, the Lord seems to fast forward, then He flashes back, and then He does it throughout the whole Word of God. Stay with Him. Stay with Him right here. Stay with Him right here. Put the Holy Spirit in front of you. Let Him lead you into these things. It's a wonderful thing. Then you've got, by the grace of God, we go right into Revelation chapter 3. If you go right into Revelation chapter 3, let's go to verses 7 through 13. Let's read about this Philadelphia group. Again, let's think about what it's saying there. And I do want to read this before we get back into chapter 6. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy. That is true. He that hath the key of David. He that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. This is Jesus Christ that can open and close heaven any time He wants to. It's not a big deal. He can do it. Is anything hard for God? No. Okay? So He can have every man come in His own order, can't they? Huh? One star differeth from another in glory. What's so hard to understand about that? What's so hard to understand that Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ Jesus? That there's a crown for me that's laid up for me. But not unto me only, but to all them too that love His appearing, that are looking for Him. That's the key. That's the secret. That's the church of Ephesus. That's the pivotal point that the Word of God's talking about here. When we read Ephesus, all these wonderful things about that Christian. But what was the one thing he held against him? You left your first love. That's why you're going to see about all these churches in heaven. There's really only six of them. Ephesus doesn't really even count because it's the pivotal church. Because what you're either going to pivot up or you're going to pivot down from Ephesus. From Ephesus, if you go back to your first love, what do you become? Either Smyrna or Philadelphia. You get it? If you pivot back down, you're going to be Pergamos or Sardis. That's a second-rank believer. See? That's where God is encouraging us right now. Make the choice by the grace of God. Just fall in love with Him. You look for that one you're in love with. I know you do. I know you did. But I won't tell her that, brother. No, I'm just teasing. Okay. I don't tell who I was looking at. I'm just kidding. Okay. Now, I got to stay with it, Jess. All right. Here we go back to chapter 3. So we were in verse 7 there. And it's in verse 8 now. I know thy works. Behold, I have set thee before thee an open door. And that door is always open. He wants every child of God to be, first of all, he says, I would that all men be saved. and then every child of God to come to a full knowledge of the truth, and all men to come to a full knowledge of the truth. This is that open door that no man can shut. For thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word, hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. There is something again about this wonderful, wonderful group of believers. They are going to be worshipped. That's the queen. The king is going to have them worship that queen. This is again the four living ones that we're talking about here. We'll bring this out again in the next few verses. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Now this again, this hour of temptation, back in Daniel, it's first introduced. This is the week, the 7 day, that's going to try the whole world. It's the 7 years of the tribulation. This hour of tribulation is the full 7 years. This group is the only group that it says, I will keep you from that hour of temptation. I will keep you from that tribulation. Philadelphia, the four living ones. We're getting into chapter 6. It's just now starting the tribulation. Who's announcing and who's bringing out the judgments? The four living ones. Do you see how they got there now? Is it kind of coming together? I pray, and I know that for, again, so many, you see this and can grasp onto it. But praise God, this is the revelation of your Jesus. This is the revelation. I'll tell you, when I got married, I wanted to know about my wife and her family. I got to stop there. She's here. But you want to know about the family that you'd marry into. You want to know about the family of God. You want to know about your wonderful Savior. This is the revelation of your wondrous Savior. Isn't that awesome? And this is the place He has for you. So praise His name that you can see this group. This is the only group that's kept from that hour of tribulation or that temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them all that dwell upon the earth. Again, that's coming upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. If you don't really believe, well, how do you know that the hour of temptation is that? Well, I just told you what that is. It's going to try them all. There's nobody that's going to escape from this thing except the Philadelphia church. You're going to escape it. You don't have to go there. If you're going to suffer with me now, you're going to reign with me. Hallelujah. You don't have to go through this. You can actually just turn around in chapter 6 by the grace of God and you can be delving out this stuff. I hope we believe that. I do. I believe He has that appointed place for any child of God that will love His appearing. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That's the offer of this joint rulership. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. If you go into Revelation chapter 21, verse 9, you'll see that New Jerusalem is the bride adorned coming out of heaven. This is His bride. Okay? So I just kind of wanted to go over that again as we're getting into chapter 6. But do you see how the grace of God brings that in? I know that's a little bit of quick overview there with it, but I hope that maybe can solidify somebody that might be struggling with that just a bit. Now, last week, we got through the fourth verse. We saw that the first two verses was again that white horse, the beginning of the tribulation. We saw again that that white horse was the one that was bringing this false peace. It was the sign of this Antichrist that will come upon the scene. We read a little bit, cross-referenced that in Revelation chapter 13, where we see the seven-headed beast with the ten crowns. And again, that speaks of the seven nations with the ten kings. Then we got into the third and the fourth verse, which talked about the second rider. And this is the horse that is red, speaking of war. Power was given to him, it says here in the fourth verse of the sixth chapter, that set upon to take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, at this point, brothers and sisters, this is where we're starting to see that the beginning of that great tribulation is starting to come to pass upon the earth. And now we're starting into the fifth verse, and we'll read the fifth and sixth, seventh and eighth. So we'll read each seal and talk about it as we go. So from the fifth verse there of the sixth chapter of Revelation. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And behold, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now the black horse here obviously is speaking of famine. You'll read about that in Ezekiel chapter 4 verse 16. It will talk about that famine that's to come upon the world. The balances in his hand speak of that famine as well. Balances also speak of justice. And I'm going to tell you something. Justice is going to be served. We don't have to delve out justice in life. I'm going to tell you. Know who's for you. He who touches you touches the apple of God's eye. Says, vengeance is mine, I will repay it, saith the Lord. I don't need to get my pound or something of that nature. By the grace of God, I need to be in there loving. I would hope. I want to have that kind of heart. I want to be able to turn that other cheek. Now there's going to be a time, as much as lies in me, as I want to seek peace with all men. But there's a point, I'm sure. I know there is. It's happened many a time. But God is making me more patient every day. Getting me more loving every day. But remember who fights your battles. Remember who is the one that is the one that keeps you. The one that, by the grace of God, when you do good unto them that despitefully use you, it's like heaping coals of hot fire on their head. Do you realize that? They can't stand it. You ever done that by the grace of God? Not because you're trying to get back at them, but when you truly love somebody and you do good, you hope that there's a step towards the things of God, but I've seen it the complete other way. It's just like, ooh, I can't believe that he did that. I wanted him to strike me back. But see, that's only God can do that. Only God can do that. Praise his name. But then in that sixth verse, it says, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. This is a day's wage for a quart of wheat. Brothers and sisters, is coming a time of such great famine that it's going to take a man to work all day long. And all he's going to have is basically a handful of wheat, enough to feed himself. He takes it back to his family. He's going to have to divide that thing all up and everybody's going to go pretty hungry. It says in the Word of God as well, too, that there's going to come a time when people are going to throw the money in the streets. It's going to be worthless. We're about there. I think the more I got into finance and the more I got into business and the more I really found out about how things work, I understand that it's air and it's going to blow. So don't put your confidence in your bank account. Don't put it in those dollars or the different things. And people say, oh, well, that's why you got to have gold. Well, I'll tell you what, that ain't going to get it either. It's coming. It's coming, and it's all setting up for that time. You'll see there where it says, see thou not hurt the oil and the wine. The oil and the wine speaks of wealth, and the poor are really going to suffer here. There's still going to be a wealthy remnant, in a sense, that are going to be fed for a time. We're going to read about them that are going to be wanting to have rocks fall upon them, seeking death, but they can't find it either. Just a moment. They think they've got it made. I think it's even worse, the torture. You know, you think, oh, well, I'm getting out of this one again. And then whammo, they got it again. So you can see that God is, you know what? There's going to be a balance. There's going to be justice there. All right. Now, after, let's go right into the fourth seal. We'll go ahead there. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. Now this speaks of pestilence and disease. This is, again, the results of such great war. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And the beasts are the rulers and the national council and the religious people, the ones that are the higher up. God is calling them basically here the beasts of the earth. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 19. It's Revelation chapter 9. And we'll read there, this is the sixth trumpet. This is the time of this Armageddon, and that's basically where we're at in this fourth seal. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. It was a specific time for to slay the third part of men. Now again, this Euphrates, well, where do you hear about that river? I think it's right over there where they already got all the army people right now, and the Navy and the Air Force and all of them. See, they're gathering up. Now again, if you were an unbeliever or a non-believer, why would you be starting your war right there? You basically can't help but get away from the Word of God, can you? Again, why are we fighting over this little piece of Israel? If you look at it on that map, there really isn't a lot of things pleasing about it. But those people, for how many thousand years now, we're not going to let that go because God promised it to us. Isn't that enough proof just in that? Why would we? We're so smart. We've come so far. We're so educated. Man is so advanced. Yet we can't get away from that little teeny piece of dirt, can we? Because God said it was so. I put it in there. I love God. People say, well, I don't see God. I don't this God. Look at that. Come on now. Look at everything by the grace of God. Look what this book said man would do. It says every single thing that they're doing today, said he would do. Praise God. He's here with us. Thank you, Jesus. So again, so in the 15th verse, for to slay the third part of men. This is going to be a horrific battle. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. This is 200 million that are going to come to that war. We've never been a point in history where we have an actually 200 million that could actually come to war. We're there now. We have that kind of population. And you think about it, well, they say, well, the armies and all that, there's really not 200 million. Look at what they did when we were even going in there to Iraq. They didn't have their army out there. They just had guns with everybody. 200 million is a small part of the world anymore. What, we're going on 8 billion? Think about it. They're going to be there. I promise you. More importantly, this promises you. And you know what? His word don't fail. It just doesn't fail. It's going to come to pass. This is exciting times. They're getting ready. They're getting over there. And here it goes. And it says, and thus I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, of Janthus, brimstone, and the heads of the horses were the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. It talks about locusts that are flying around. See, poor John, he never saw an F-18 or an F-15 or a firing tank. He just thought, well, it looks like some big dragon with a thing on its head. And it was always so wonderful to me. You see how they paint those helicopters and stuff with the teeth and all. Somebody was teasing me that I should put one of them on the front of my plane. And I thought it'd scare some people pulling in. But you see, that's what he saw. He couldn't explain it. He just was writing down the things that he saw. So praise God, we see that this is going on. All right, now let's go over here to the 9th verse, which is the 5th seal. Now, brothers and sisters, again, we've had these 4 seals. That is the complete index of the tribulation. Very sweet as well, too, is to note that there were 4 living ones that were pouring those judgments out. Now, in the 5th seal, and the 6th seal, and the 7th seal, you're going to say, well, wait, brother, there's no more living ones to pour that out. It's because the tribulation's done after those 4 seals, in a sense. 2, 5, and 7 are just pieces within those 4 seals. Did you follow me with that? We have the 4 seals, that's the complete tribulation, the whole 7-year period of time. The 5th, the 6th, and the 7th are going to be seals within those seals, parts of them, and that's going back in there. Why God does that way? I don't know. But I think you'll follow it through very clearly and you'll see how God does it. He puts it in absolutely perfect. Now, the 5th seal actually begins under or right in about, right after, somewhere maybe part of the 2nd seal. And it's very interesting because these are the martyrs we're going to talk about. Okay? Let's go ahead and read it. 9 through 11. And when he had opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So now we're seeing John in heaven has another vision of a group of people that are in heaven. Kind of interesting here is because this group is actually the last group that is taken up into heaven. In a sense, we have the 24 elders and the four living ones. I'm just saying that, in a sense, yes, those are two different companies. Don't get me wrong here. But that's the first vision of that group as a whole seen up in heaven. All right? Now we see this group of martyrs. And I'd like to talk about this right now. You have the tribulation, which is a seven-year period of time. The very beginning of the tribulation, you see the groups of the 24 elders. You also see the group of the four living ones. In chapter 7, Lord willing, we'll be there, okay? In chapter 7, we read about 144,000 that need to be sealed before they're taken into heaven. Then in the ninth verse of the seventh chapter, we start to see this great, large, huge multitude. The innumerable multitude, brothers and sisters, are the church of Pergamos and the church of Sardis. Okay, they're the second rank believers. That is actually the second group that will be seen in heaven. In the seven-year period of tribulation, again, at the very first, you have the bride taken. Shortly thereafter, somewhere around and in that first seal time, maybe between the first and second, there's not an exactness in this, but we'll read in the seventh chapter. I'm getting a little bit ahead, but I need to bring this back, I think, at this time so you understand these martyr saints. Okay? You're going to see that shortly thereafter the tribulation begins, you know, maybe it's in the second year, somewhere in that area, you're going to see that the innumerable multitude is taken up into heaven. Another raptured body. The ones that weren't ready. The ones that were sleeping. The ones that weren't sober and looking for His appearing. These are the ones that were the Ephesus that stayed in that He wasn't their first love. Okay? So that is that group. Shortly after that group, before the middle of the tribulation, before the 3.5-year period, remember this is 7 years. So right before the 3.5-year period then, the next group that is going to be seen in heaven are the sealed 144,000. They're going to be with the Lord at that time. It says that they should be sealed and taken up into heaven before all of the fury. We'll read this. We'll get to it, Lord willing. Before all of the fury is released. That is actually what's called the Great Tribulation time, or the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. So let's not get that confused. Again, there's a 7-year tribulation. The last 3.5 years is the Great Tribulation. So now we have the three different, in a sense, scenes of peoples in heaven. We have the bride right before the tribulation. Then we have right into the tribulation, we see the innumerable multitude. Then right before the great tribulation occurs, before we really start to have a breakout of the wrath of God, we see the 144,000 taken. All right. Now we get to this group of these ones that are the martyrs that are seen under the altar, the souls of them. And you notice that we read in verse 11 here, it said that these were killed. They died. Okay, there was not a rapture for them. This is the last group. This is the group that is known as Thyatira. Remember when we read about Thyatira? There was a few that were in there that were still faithful, but they were still messed up in so much mess up. They were lukewarm, right? They were around that type of thing. And these are ones that are actually saved during that tribulation time and even go into the great tribulation. Jesus has so much grace to us. He has so much grace to man. And if there's going to be a heart to believe, He'll reveal Himself to anyone. You know that. And this is that last group that's going to be taken up into heaven at that time. Now, why people don't see this in a sense of all these different groups and all these different companies, I really don't understand, to be honest with you. I praise God that I see it. I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody else, and you're not better than anybody else if you see it. But thank you, by the grace of God, that you're willing to believe and read the Word of God and have the Holy Spirit reveal it for what it is. So let's go back and start again in that ninth verse for the fifth seal. When He had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain. Under the altar shows this is the lowest, basically, place. This is the least of the reward that there will be in heaven. They will still have a reward. It'll still be a reward beyond anything we could ask or think. But it's going to be the lowest level of reward. This is a Thyatira saint. Of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Okay, I'd like to start talking a little bit about this as well too. In Matthew 25, I don't want to go into that, but you'll read about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Okay, and these represent the five foolish virgins. They didn't keep the oil in their lamp. And when the bridegroom came, and that's not talking about the bride of Christ at that time. It's talking about these, the five wise are going to be the 144,000. The five foolish are going to be those that finally get their martyred resurrection, but they obviously are have to go through death. All right, but turn with me to look more at these altar, the souls of these that were found underneath the altar. Turn with me to Revelation 15, verses 2 and 3. Chapter 15, verses 2 and 3. Now again, Revelation, John is seeing things. He's seeing events. They're not necessarily in an order fashion. But again, God, I believe in His great mercy, will bring this together for us. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass. Now remember, we see a sea of glass that's before the throne, mingled with fire. Now that again is speaking of that there's much tribulation that has happened with this glass and fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image. Now remember, you would have to go into the tribulation quite a ways to get the victory over the beast and over his image. Are you getting the victory over the beast and over his image tonight? No. The beast hasn't come yet. There's no image that we have to get the victory over. We just have the victory because we have the blood of the Lamb on our life. But this is a group of people that have to get the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark. And this mark doesn't start coming in, brothers and sisters, until later in the tribulation time. So do you see what I'm saying here? This is truly this group that is going to go through great tribulation and into that last 3.5 years that are saved during that time, that do come to an acknowledgement over it, that didn't accept the mark of that beast, that were persecuted and martyrs and killed. There are going to be Christians killed. They're being killed today. Do you know that? We just live in a country that's so insulated in a sense. Do you understand what's going on in many countries today, whether it's China or South America or Africa? Christians are being slaughtered today. They are. And I think it's a sad thing that our country turns its head to it, but that's a whole different story. But you can see how we're getting complacent to these things. I appreciate to stand up for Israel, and the Word of God tells us to, but I would pray that we would go in and protect Christians as well too. But you know what? God protects them. And nobody could touch them anyways. God's for them. Who could be against them? And in a lot of ways, that mercy to maybe even be taken out of a situation like that and just to be in the face of the King. I shouldn't say maybe. I know that would be a wonderful thing. Okay, and over the number of the names, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So you see, this is that group that we're talking about here. Let's go to another reference of them. Let's go to Revelation chapter 13, verses 7 and 15. Okay, Revelation 13. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. This is the Antichrist. And to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now think about this. This is when power is given unto the beast. The power is going to be completely given over to that Antichrist in the Great Tribulation time. So think about what we just read there. It was saying that it was given unto him to make war with the saints. They're saints then. These are those martyrs. And he's going to make war with them, all right? Now let's read on verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now again, that next verse that I wanted to go to was verse 15. And it says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Again, those are the martyrs. The martyrs aren't going to receive the mark. The martyrs aren't going to worship the beast. It's going to be an awful time. But you know what? They're still going to love the Lord. Isn't that precious? They're not going to succumb to it. And we've already seen testimony of people. Think of the martyrs that were thrown on the rock. Remember when they would heat those rocks up and they would take those people, they would take the woman and throw her children on it? I read those stories about how awful. And they would bake and sizzle and just die and scream in front of her. But she would not would not deny her Lord and Savior. And then they would throw her on there as well. It's already happened. It's just going to get more wicked. Evil of man waxing worse and worse. And then if you go, the final one that I'll just give you is chapter 20, verse 4. That's chapter 20, verse 4. And it says, and this is such a precious thing, these are different separate sightings that John sees of believers in heaven. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Now that's kind of sounding to me a little bit like those four living ones. How about you, huh? Yeah, amen. Okay. Now wait. And then he said, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon the foreheads. This is the only time that there was a beast and a mark and a forehead and all that is going to be this time that we come into is the great tribulation. These are the saints that come out of that time. Do you see the fallacy when everybody says, well, and again, I was reading about a brother in one of the books, and he has so many wonderful things to say, but it's so sad. He thinks that the rapture, the bride, is the complete church. Now, how could you get that? He says it's just going to be wrapped up in one time. Well, come on now. Did God forget some people? He says he scourged it and he purged it, and it was done in that one rapture. In Thessalonians 4. No. Didn't read it. More importantly, didn't believe it. I hope we see it. There's coming a time. And these are important things to see, brothers and sisters, because this is the revelation of your bride. I should say your bridegroom. Praise God. Okay, we'll go on. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Okay, I believe we'll continue on. I'd like to try to get through this sixth chapter. All right, now the sixth seal. The sixth seal happens and occurs at the end of the fourth seal. It's kind of the final wrap-up of Armageddon here. And let's go into that 12th verse. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves. Remember how they were able to get food beforehand, and they were feeling pretty good about themselves? Now they're hiding themselves. How quickly it changes. In the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne. They're not afraid of the beast. It's wrapping up time. Justice is going to be served. And from the wrath of the Lamb. I always have to kind of smile at that. Because I see that Lamb as the most loving thing I ever could imagine. And I'm going to see him as the Lamb slain. But the Lamb's going to have wrath too. And it's going to be wrath like nobody's ever seen. And by the grace of God, we're going to share in it, brothers and sisters. It's going to be. For the great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? If you're not standing with the Lord, you ain't going to be able to stand. Okay, let's go back. There was a great earthquake. Isaiah 24:20. Let's go ahead and, I don't want to skip this. This is some good stuff. So let's go over here to Isaiah chapter 24, verse 20. Might keep you just a little bit longer tonight. I hope you can bear with it. All right. It says, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. Now again, this is the great tribulation in Isaiah. The wonderful prophet was writing this and was seeing these things happen. It says that there's going to be an earthquake like the earth has never seen. So obviously there have been great earthquakes that have happened. Now I don't know if this is an actual earthquake or if these are bombs that are happening here. We don't know. It doesn't specifically say. I just know it's going to shake it up. And it's going to be like it's going to shake like it's never been shook. And this old, you know, you hear all these scientists say, well, you know, when this plate broke from this one and we had Pangaea, I don't know all the names. My kids know them. I kind of tease with them when they talk about that stuff. But where it all broke out, you know, and all the big earthquakes and everything like that, it's going to be an earthquake like they've never seen. So I don't know if they're hurling these cobalt bombs or these atomic bombs or nuclear bombs or whatever bombs they have. It's going to get awful, and it's going to rock to and fro like a drunkard man. And the sun became black as sackcloth. And I think if you followed that Iraq war when they lit all them oil rigs and burned them all and everything like that, it was something. It was amazing how fading the memory is to most. But it was like, oh, is this the time where, you know, it was black. They couldn't see. There was war. And this is going to be a time of war like the world's never seen. We're going to see a slaughter of Jews like the world's never seen. God forbid, but it's going to happen. Because it's His will and it's going to be done. And this is going to be carried out. Because His Son is going to take a throne and this is the path. This is the way. It's not going to happen any other way. Know it. Know it. This is why these people want counseling. This is the counseling they need, huh, brother? Amen. Then they get excited about something. I'll give you some counsel. You get in there and talk to them. They'll lock you up, huh? All right. And the moon became as blood. And in both of these things they talked about, they said even in that blackness, when the moon came up, it just looked red. See? These things have already happened. The stars of heaven fell upon the earth. Again, John talking about things. I'm pretty confident here. He's probably talking about the, you know, a lot of people talk about comets and different things that they see in meteorites, and yeah, there's more activity there. I think these are hurlings of bombs. How many bombs have they thrown over there on Israel? Like 3,500 already in the last 13 days? Yeah. And it's so funny how we just, oh, well, they're just a little bomb. I don't want any bomb in my backyard. How about you? You see, but it's just Israel. Let me tell you something. Somebody hurls one airplane into one of our skyscrapers, and we took over a country or two, didn't we? It's a difference because it's Israel, but God's for them. Okay? Now think how much more even God's for you. See, put these things in perspective. Isn't it wonderful to just thrill in how God loves us and how He loves you? You were feeling bad about yourself a few minutes ago. All right. And the stars of heaven fell upon the earth. Even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. It just kind of came upon them, you know. It says, they'll cry peace and safety, and then sudden destruction. It hits them. They were surprised, weren't they? Because they were so high and mighty in their own minds that they were able to bring about peace. You see? See it all coming together? Vain in their imaginations, the philosophy that's going to get it done. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. There's going to be a new heaven and an earth, brothers and sisters. Go over with me to Isaiah 65:17. It says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." Isn't that precious? See, this is talking about when we get to the millennium time, by the way, after He wraps up the 7-year tribulation, as we get in there. "But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem rejoicing, and her people a joy, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem and join my people. And the voice of the weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of the crying. There shall be no more thence of infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, the children will even live to be 100. They shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them." Keep reading here. "They shall not build and another inhabitant, for they shall not plant and another eat. For as many days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring which them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." Now, you've got this other group that's going out there. I'm telling you again. You got these different Christian movements. And I don't know if they're saved or not, to be honest with you. I hope they are. But they're saying, well, the kingdom was established in 70 A.D. Well, what's this? Where is it? God failed if that's the case. And He didn't. It's just that they're a nut. And it is. You can be a nut, and you'll be a nut if you don't believe the Word of God and rightfully divide the Word of God. You'll be tossed in to and fro with every wind of doctrine, won't you? You'll be unsettled. You'll be unstable. You'll be as silly women that are taken away. Sorry, ladies, that's what they used. There's a lot of silly men, too. Maybe more. Get stable. Believe Him. Get into the Word of God. Okay? When He shows you something, and you can search the Scriptures to see it so, stand in faith. All right? It's line upon line. It's verse upon verse. It doesn't come all together in one moment. It's a race of patience. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit on Sunday. So, all right. Turn with me over to Revelation chapter 16. Wrap this up here. That's Revelation 16, verses 17 through 21. The seventh angel poured out a vial into the air. There came a great voice of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." I think I remember a phrase that said, "It is finished," huh? Huh, brother? Isn't that precious? It's going to be wonderful to see, "It is done." Thank God you're on the right side. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. The great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give into her the cup, the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Goes on with that about what happens to man at that time. But see, where there's land, there's going to be water. Where there's water, there's going to be land. God's going to change this place. It says the sun rises and sets upon this forever. But it's going to be a new heaven. It's going to be a new earth. It's going to be new. Praise God. And I know that sun, too, is my wonderful Savior. That's always going to be in there. Praise His name. In 2 Peter 3, I'll just give you these verses, and as well as Revelation 21:1, it also talks about the new heaven and the new earth and how God will establish it. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men, this is verse 15 of chapter 6 of Revelation, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Now remember, at this time, brothers and sisters, all the believers are taken. It's over. It's done. Like He said, it's done. I've harvested the harvest. Now I'm going to put in that thresher. And I'm going to go in and press that great wine press, as He calls it. And hid themselves in the den and in the rocks of the mountains. Turn over to Revelation 9:6, and this will be the last verse we'll look at here and finish this up. Chapter 9, verse 6. And this is where it's talking about again. This is the fifth trumpet. And in those days shall men seek death. They shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. There's going to be a lot of torment even before they die, before they go to hell, before they're ever even cast into the lake of fire, and that's going to be a torment like nobody's ever known. It's a great judgment. The wrath of God is going to be as extreme as the grace and the untold riches of His grace as well, too. There's a judgment that's coming. That's why when you really understand and get into the things of God and you know what awaits somebody that doesn't accept Christ as Savior, I don't care how you feel about them or how dirty they did you, you don't want them to go there. You just don't. You don't. I hate when they spit on my Jesus, but you know what? They spit on Him physically. And you know what He said? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." You think we can love like that? I hope we can. I hope we can get to that point of, by the grace of God, His love working in us. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" All right, let's pray. Thank you again, dear Lord, for this time. We thank you for, again, giving us word. Lord, we know it's the words of life. Lord Jesus, help us to attend. And as it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Lord, you're speaking to us in such a loving call. You're saying, come, Lord. You're just saying, go on without the camp. Don't be hesitant. Don't let the world become our altar, Lord Jesus. Let us be you. Let it be that we provide, oh, by the grace of God, that we would live that life of sacrifice that only you, by your grace, can encourage us to do. Help us to run well. Help us to be looking for you. And Lord, as the Word of God tells us, even so, come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.